Let's pray as we begin. Lord, we approach wonders in the passages talking to us about the Lord Jesus' birth at Christmas. And we pray that as we do that, you'd be at work in our hearts, giving us fresh eyes to see these wonders again, and hearts to receive the glory of all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Here are the apprentice people. You know I like the apprentice. I like them because they say silly things. So here are a few quotes from Jenny. You'll see my name in lights. Jenny Garbus. Don't forget that. That's going to be a global name. That's going to be an entrepreneur everyone looks up to. And she's out already. Oh, well. Then there's Brett. Brett is still in. I pride myself on not having any negative or bad traits about myself. They're all good. They're all positive. Wow, what a guy. He must win. Or Joseph. I am the definition of success. I'm a godfather of business, and I'm here to make Lord Sugar a lot of money. Wow. Well, if you had 25 words to describe yourself, what would you say? I pride myself on not having any negative or bad traits. They're all good. They're all positive. There's one thing in common with those apprentice statements. They're all arrogant, aren't they? And I suppose it's one of the things they're looking for in the contestants. People who are so arrogant, they're going to look incredibly annoying on telly. They're boasting about themselves. They've got the ability. They've got the power. They're going to do it. There is another one, though, who's slightly different. This is one of the other contestants. I believe this is a marathon. And if you have stamina, and if you do things with integrity, morals, and direction, you can get where you want to go. Whoa, that's a bit of a breath of fresh air for an apprentice contestant. And that person is still in. I won't tell you who it is. You have to see if they win or not. So maybe self-confidence and arrogance isn't everything you need. Maybe there are other paths to success. Have a look at verse 51 in our reading. It's talking about God. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. When it comes to approaching God, thank you, Dominic, pride, arrogance, self-confidence won't do. Imagine a scale like that one on the screen there, from 0 at the bottom, all the way up to 100. At the top, and 0 stands for rubbish and 100 stands for brilliant. But where would you put yourself on the scale? Somewhere from 0 rubbish to 100 brilliant. Where would you be on that scale? Some of you secretly, I know, would like to put yourselves near the top, perhaps. And others are probably feeling you're very near the bottom. What about God? Let's put God in. Where do we put God on the scale? Right at the top. Right at the top of 100. Now, where do we put ourselves? Well, we can't be the same as God, can we? Maybe a bit lower. I've added a line on the scale, which is very near the top. Probably is incredibly near the top. And that's the mark that marks the level at which we're acceptable to God. And now, where are you near that mark? Are you above it or below it? I'll come back to that thought later on. In this passage today, we've got two humble women. Two humble women who are in awe at God, God at work. Elizabeth says to Mary, Mary, it's amazing what God has done in you. And Mary says, no, 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 it's not me. It's all God. It's all God. Two humble women in awe at God. And as we get ready for Christmas, they're going to show us two attitudes towards God that are going to bin self-confidence forever. Two attitudes for us to take on. That are so much better than self-confidence. Attitudes that come from God. So here's the first. First of all, be amazed at what God is doing in Jesus. Be amazed at what God is doing in Jesus. What's going on in this story? Well, as we come to it, Mary and Elizabeth are both pregnant. Elizabeth has been pregnant for about 6 months and a little bit more. Mary has only just found out that she's pregnant because an angel came and told her and explained that this was going to be God's child. Elizabeth had a slightly different experience with becoming pregnant. She was an old lady who'd never had any children. And her husband had been to the temple. We heard this back in earlier in chapter 1. He worked in the temple. And one day he had this meeting with an angel there who said that his wife was going to have a child, but he didn't really believe it. And so he was struck dumb, Zechariah. But it still happened. And now Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. She's got a bump. And Mary goes to visit her. And Elizabeth says, "Wow! The mother of my Lord is here." Wow. Verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you'll bear. But who am I? Why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She really ought to be the centre of attention, oughtn't she? Mary is a relative visiting, probably a 4-day journey from Nazareth. And she turns up and it ought to be, "Oh, Elizabeth, look at you. You're pregnant. You're going to have a baby. It's amazing, wonderful." But Elizabeth has had a revelation from God and she realises that this young girl, who doesn't even look pregnant yet, has got something utterly amazing happening in her. Mary's going to have a baby and he's going to be the Lord. He's going to be the Lord. "Who am I? Why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And then Mary turns around and says, "It's not me, but God is great. It's not me, but God is great." She points to God and not herself. Look at verse 46. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. For he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." God is brilliant. They're both amazed, aren't they, at what God is doing. And on their scale of 0 to 100, God is right there at 100 for them. And they haven't even thought about where they are. They're not bothered. God is so amazing at what he's doing. And right there at the heart of this, there is this revelation that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is a revelation that comes by the Holy Spirit. So God is working in Elizabeth in a special way for her to know this. And she's one of the many people in Luke who tell us this. And as we're reading through Luke, and we're hoping to, remember, get that certainty about Jesus that they mentioned back in the first few verses, lots of people tell us who Jesus is. They tell us Jesus' identity in all the events that are going on. So here's Elizabeth. She's Mary is the mother of my Lord. Jesus is the Lord. And then the angels in chapter 2, verse 11. They tell us that Jesus is a saviour who's born. After Jesus is born, he gets taken to the temple by his parents. And there's Simeon and Anna there. And they tell us that, verse 30, chapter 2, verse 30, "My eyes have seen your salvation." So he's the one who's going to bring salvation. And it goes on. John the Baptist says things about him. God himself in chapter 3 verse 21 says, "This is my son." The demons that Jesus cast out say, "I know you're the son of God." And as we're reading Luke, we can't miss it, can we? Who is this man? He's Jesus, the Lord, the Saviour, the son of God. It's wonderful. Be amazed. This is why Elizabeth says that Mary is so blessed. She's got a glimpse of how amazing Jesus is, that baby that Mary's going to have. What a privilege. What a privilege to be his mother. A few years ago, thanks Dom, it was a great privilege, wasn't it, to carry the Olympic flame. And if you'd been one of those people who carried it for however long it was, 100 yards or whatever, and ran along with that Olympic flame, you'd be on the news, your photo would be up there, it'd be a great privilege. Or a couple of years ago, Roy and Ivy Tanner got to meet the Queen, didn't you, Roy? What a great privilege. What a privilege. And Roy and Ivy were blessed amongst Mordeners, we might say, mightn't we, for that great privilege. And here is a privilege even greater. This is why Mary is blessed so much. She's going to be the Lord's. She's going to bear the Lord. And look at verse 45 as well. She's believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. How important that is. She believes God's word. Thanks, Dom. So in the run-up to this Christmas, We've got lots of shopping to do, probably, people to see, food to eat, all of that kind of thing. Will we stop and spend some time just being amazed? Being amazed at Jesus, who becomes a human at Christmas. Well, he became human that first Christmas that we remember. See, and if only we could kind of erase all our Christmas thoughts and things, so it didn't just become something else that we do yet again for another year, another set of readings we hear again. And if only we could hear them all new for the first time and experience that wonder again, wouldn't that be brilliant? Maybe you're not yet trusting in Jesus. Then as you approach Christmas, think of this. That child that's in some of the Christmas cards and things in the manger there, he's actually the creator and sustainer of the whole world and universe. He's become a child for a reason, so he can be your saviour and rescue you. Where does that put Jesus on your scale of 0 to 100? Can you see that he's right up there? He's Lord. Will you trust the promises that are made by him? Promises that we can know God through him. Will you trust that? We've sold out the book, The One True Light, but it's a book that's really helpful in giving us this sense of awe and wonder at who Jesus is. So if you want a copy of that, do tell me, we can order some more. Let's be amazed at what God is doing in Jesus. That's the first of these attitudes, to bin self-confidence, amazement at the Lord. Well, here's the second. Be humble. Be humble to receive Jesus' rescue. God won't deal with us until we humble ourselves before him. I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral where Frank Sinatra's song My Way is played. My way, I did it my way. Well, with the most sincere apologies to any of you who've put that on your funeral plan, you might as well be playing Highway to Hell or something. Because my way is a blatant statement that we haven't gone God's way. We've put ourselves at the centre of everything. We've ignored what God wants and what other people want. It's sin and selfishness at its greatest, isn't it? It's the problem. Have a look at verse 51. God has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. See, God will not deal with us until we humble ourselves before him. And Elizabeth and Mary are humble people, aren't they? Elizabeth, not a word about herself and the amazing things that's been going on in her life. All about what's happening for Mary. And Mary, it's not me, it's God. It's God, she says. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. They've understood God's greatness. And they've understood their place, their standing before him. So, God's greatness, verse 49. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. He's mighty. He's mighty to create the universe and to keep it going. He's mighty to intervene within it. He's mighty to speak and fulfill everything that he speaks. He's holy. He's holy in that he's set apart. He's not like everyone else. He's right in what he does. He's better in everything. And he's merciful as well. Merciful, it means he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. This is God's greatness that Mary and Elizabeth have understood. And they also understand their standing before him. So on a scale of 0 to 100, it's clear where he is. He's right up there. He is God at 100. And where are we? Well, if we understand our standing, we'll see that we're below the line of being acceptable. We're down near the bottom somewhere. Will God abandon us to what we deserve because of that? No, he's merciful. He's merciful. This is the wonder of Jesus coming. This is why he's come into the world, so that God could have mercy on us and not treat us as our sins deserve. And so essentially what Mary is doing in describing what God is like here is she's telling us what Jesus will do, what he'll be like. So back to verse 52, God has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. And in Jesus he will lift up those who are humble before God, who humble themselves before him. He has filled the hungry with good things, and in Jesus this is what he'll do if we're hungry spiritually before him. But he sent the rich away empty. And so what we discover in this song of Mary is something very simple, and it's this: God brings down the proud and lifts up the humble. God brings down the proud and lifts up the humble. It's very simple, isn't it? What's a humble person? Well, in these terms, it's someone who knows where they are on that scale and who realises they're not at the top, they're below the line, they're not acceptable. It's someone who cries to God for God's help. They're not self-confident. A humble person is God-confident. And as we read on in Luke, we're going to see this again and again and again. Who do the angels tell about the Saviour? It's the shepherds, isn't it? Just the shepherds. Humble guys up on the hillside. Who does Jesus meet as a baby in the temple? Simeon and Anna, a couple of oldies who spent their lives praying. Humble people. At Simon the Pharisee's house, which woman is told that she's forgiven all her sins? The humble woman who bows at his feet and washes his feet with her tears. In Jesus' parables, the lost son is humbled, and that's when he comes back to his father in humility and receives everything. The Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee is proud. The tax collector humbles himself. Have mercy on me, a sinner. He's declared right with God. The centurion, whose servant is healed. The centurion says, I know what authority is, and you, Lord, have the authority. He's humble before him. And at the same time, you've got the rich being cast down, the rich young ruler, the Pharisee in the temple, in the parable, Simon the Pharisee with the woman. Again and again and again, God brings down the proud and lifts up the humble. Well, what about you and me? It's hard to be humble, isn't it? It's hard to accept that we can't do it ourselves and we do need someone else's help. It's just hard in life anyway. It's hard to say, yeah, I can't do this. But it's true before God. And it's how we become a Christian, isn't it? We say to God, I know, I'm living under the line. I need your forgiveness. I need what Jesus has done so that you can say, see me and see me as right and clean me up before you. It's about not being self-confident, but being God-confident. There's a very famous emperor called Charlemagne. He had a huge empire, around about 800 AD, and he was a Christian. And now he could have played my way at his funeral, perhaps got away with it. But instead, he arranged for this to happen at his funeral. When the funeral cortege of Charlemagne came to the cathedral, they were shocked to find the gate barred by the bishop. Who comes? Shouted the bishop. The heralds answered, Charlemagne, Lord and King of the Holy Roman Empire. Answering for God, the bishop replied, Him I know not. Who comes? Heralds tried again. Charles the Great, a good and honest man of the earth. Again, the bishop says, Him I know not. Who comes? One last try for the heralds. Charles, a lowly sinner who begs the gift of Christ. Him I know, the bishop replied. Enter. Well, Charlemagne was dead, so it didn't do him much good. But we have the chance, don't we, before God, to humble ourselves before God and say to him, David, a sinner, who needs Christ's gift. So it's how we become a Christian, but it's also how we continue as someone who follows Jesus. It's how we continue as disciple, by being humble to God and humble to others. So humble to God. The Lord's Prayer we prayed earlier, do you notice the fourth line in it? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, my will be done. Well, no, it's not my will, is it? Your will be changed. It's not your will be changed, is it, either? Your will be done. It's a humble prayer, isn't it? And it's how we relate to God as we live for him. Seeing him as amazing. And us as just brought to him by what he's done. But also we need to be humble to each other. And we're called to be humble to each other, looking after each other's needs, putting others on that line ahead of us, above us, and seeing them as more important. I know a lady in another church in a wheelchair. She's an old lady. She has MS. She's not very well. And she says, I can't do anything. I'm worthless. But the great thing about her is she chats. She chats with her carers. She chats with the postman. When she's in hospital, she chats with the people in the bed next to her, with the nurses. When in hospital she was in a wheelchair, she would wheel herself around the ward, chatting with other people. And she ended up being perhaps one of the greatest evangelists there is, and a great witness for Jesus. She chatted with people and prayed with them. She's humble, but she's not worthless. Bishop Ryle, I quoted him last week, quote him again. He says, it is the grace which is within the reach of every converted person. All are not rich, all are not learned, all are not highly gifted, all are not preachers, but all children of God may be clothed with humility. Well, who will we put our confidence in? Will it be ourselves? I pride myself on not having any negative or bad traits. They're all good. They're all positive. Will we put confidence in ourselves or Jesus? Here are two attitudes that will bin self-confidence, and for good reason. Let us, as we approach Christmas, let us be amazed at what God is doing in Jesus. Jesus, the Lord, comes to earth to be our Saviour. And let us be humble to receive Jesus' rescue and to continue in that. I haven't put a slide up for it, but our coffee question this week is this. Who are you going to put your confidence in? Let's pray. Let's just spend a moment in quiet, bringing our own thoughts before God and our response to his word. Let me read again, verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Amen.